Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
So, question, ever spend hours just waiting for the perfect time to start writing? Maybe first you decide to do a guided visualization or answer a few emails. Or there could be that perfect song that gets your juices flowing or motivational YouTube video you love. Well, here's a tip. Don't wait and don't find an excuse to do something else. Just start. I know it sounds crazy, maybe impossible, but here's the thing. When you're not writing, it almost never feels like the right time to start writing. And as it turns out, it's almost always better to write something than to write nothing at all. As the great Gary Halbert said, motion is better than meditation. That's what we'll talk about today, just after we talk about this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So often writer's block is a question of putting off the inevitable. You know, if there's a deadline, then I'll have no choice but to get it done. And that can work, no doubt about it. But there are a couple problems with that approach. First, it's hell on your body and nervous system. Even your coffee maker and whatever you keep in your medicine chest would rather be used for other purposes. And second, you're not always going to get your best work out of doing things this way. Yes, there is some value to writing under pressure. The whole fight or flight thing really gets your juices going and can sharpen your copy. But when you wait till the last minute, you're leaving out that cooling off period after which you can review your hot copy with a little more of a level head. Catch the typos, get rid of the cliches you don't want, add a few last minute brilliant innovations you never would have thought of when you were typing a million miles a minute. Still, you gotta admit it, there's nothing quite like the rush that comes from having to write something really fast when the heat is on and there's no looking back. Now, AI confuses and complicates everything I'm going to say today. So before we jump in, I'm going to say, I don't think AI should ever write your first draft. I was on a group webinar and conversation with Bond Halbert, Gary's son, and he brought up a brilliant strategy. He said before he starts or gives anything to AI, he will walk around with a little notebook and write down original creative ideas to feed it. Here's why I think that or something like it is a good approach. And it's the only way to do the following. Never count on AI to come up with your core positioning or your big idea or your big promise or your unique angle or anything that needs to be fresh, original, and compelling, because it can't. Imagine going to a store called the Week Old Food Store and asking them for strawberries that were picked this morning. Well, of course, they can't give it to you because everything there is a week old. They could paint some moldy strawberries bright red, but they couldn't actually sell them to you because everything there is a week old. As Bond pointed out, everything AI comes with will be a mishmash of something someone's written before. That's just how AI works. So if you give AI fresh material, it can do a beautiful job of organizing it for you and maybe even suggesting ways to improve it. But if you're using AI, you can and should still use something like we're going to talk about today. Nathan, I'd love to hear your take on it because you were using AI well before I even was willing to. What do you think?
I agree. One of the biggest problems that I've run into when using AI is AI can make a really bad idea sound like a well-polished good idea. I've gotten to the end of an iteration of something before and then been like, this all sounds very compelling, but it's not what the market is asking for. And then it goes, you're absolutely right. We shouldn't have wasted the last 3 hours brainstorming this. So I've noticed that if you're somebody who doesn't understand the fundamentals of good copy, AI can help you write something that looks like good copy, but it won't actually convert. You need to have that good knowledge base and the structure to mold it. It can be great at helping you be creative, but if you don't have the foundation, it'll have a lot of flow and it'll go in the completely wrong direction. You have to be able to set those boundaries, set the banks of the river in order to control where the flow goes.
Yeah, I love that. I totally agree with it. All right, let's move on to our next section. Maybe start by writing this. So instead of your copy itself, if you're writing long copy, I'm going to give you something really simple, like 4 fill-in-the-blank sentences. If you're writing long copy, like a sales letter, advertorial, VSL, you could start by simply writing a headline, writing a lead, writing some bullet points, and writing an offer without giving any thought in the moment as to how they all fit together. But even before that, filling in 4 simple sentences, fill-in-the-blank sentences, this will give you more direction to get started. They're really simple. 1, the purpose of what I'm going to write is, and fill in the blank. The customer for this copy is, fill in the blank. The problem this copy is going to solve for the customer is, fill in the blank. And the product or service I will write about is, fill in the blank. Now, your answers to these questions or your blanks that you fill in don't have to be finished copy. This is just something to give you bare bones information you need to help propel you forward writing in the right direction. And these sentences won't take long to complete. Let's go over what each one's about, and then I'll show you an example. So purpose is what you want the copy to accomplish. Maybe it's to get an order. Maybe it's to get the prospect to opt into a landing page. Maybe it's just to inform a prospect about the benefits of your product, but not ask for any action. Maybe it's to get the prospect to book a discovery call. Whatever that is, spell it out, write it down, and then move on to the next fill in the blank, to customer. And customer is the description of your best customer. It does not need to be detailed, precise, or even 100% accurate. Later on, you'll want to be pinpoint accurate, but for now, a general idea is good enough. 3, problem. Problem is the problem a customer is aware of or can easily be made aware of that your copy will show the prospect how your offer can solve. A simple one-sentence description is all you need for now. Don't get hung up in technicalities at this point. You can do that later if you need to. And 4, product is simply the name or the description of the product or service you're selling or talking about in your copy. Again, it doesn't need to be anything fancy or technically detailed. Just a clear statement of what you're writing about. So if you know what you want to do, this should take a few minutes. If you don't know what you want to do, it's a really good idea to figure out what you want to do before you start writing. So it might take 10 or 15 minutes. Shouldn't take that long, though, even in that case. So let's come up with an imaginary golf product. Here's what this would look like. The purpose of what I'm going to write is to get new orders for my client's new golf product. My customer for this copy is a golfer who wants to improve their score. Their problem is that their score is too high and they don't know what to do to get it lower. The product is an online course called Lower Your Golf Score. Pretty simple, right? Remember, as Gene Schwartz said, copy is not written so much as assembled. So if you have a few key components done ahead of time, that makes it a lot easier to do what we're going to talk about next. Thoughts?
I have a long-standing rule when I'm writing copy, and it's before I even write a word. What are the 2 number ones? Number one is, is what does the reader want to get out of this? Are they wanting to be informed? Are they wanting to get a transformation? Are they wanting to get a problem solved? What's that? What's their number one thing that they want out of it? And then what's the number one thing I want them to do after reading it? Do I want them to sign up for my email list? Do I want them to try a free trial? Do I want them to actually buy the product? Do I want them to click the link? So what's the number one thing I want, and what's the number one thing they want? And that's my kind of shortened version of what you just talked about.
Yeah, I like that one too, because copy is all about desire, isn't it? I mean, that's really, that's really what it is all about. So, okay, now let's talk about your brain. And here is why you want to do something, write anything, rather than just think about it. When you're thinking about your writing, your brain is using your prefrontal cortex, which is, for all practical purposes, in a state of stillness. The prefrontal cortex is where logic and math and symbols and very clean factual stuff happens. But it is, for all practical purposes, in a state of stillness. Now, when you're thinking about it, it might seem like you're making progress, but what you're really doing is akin to running a toy race car round and round the same track. You think you're moving, but you're not really getting anywhere. You're just going around in circles. On the other hand, when you're actually writing, your brain is taking action. You've engaged the language areas around the motor cortex, as well as the default mode network, and these are parts of your brain that are engaged when you're taking action. You may not realize it at the time, but when you're writing, you are in fact using a different part of your brain. Yes, thinking is still involved, for sure, but it's a different kind of thinking. At least for copywriting, it's a kind of thinking that involves motion. And look at it this way. Stillness leads to more stillness. Motion leads to more motion. Now, it may get awkward when you start writing with no idea of where you're going. You might not like what you're writing, not at all. But that doesn't really matter, because action sets the gears in motion. And when you are in action, you go into a state of mind that is difficult or even impossible to anticipate when you are still. Often, you are simply still because of fear. And fear can paralyze you. Motion pulls you out of fear because you are in action. And here's why this is so powerful and helpful in getting you started writing even before you think you're ready to. It functions like a GPS for your brain. It points in the right direction, and especially important, it identifies the endpoint of your journey. And here I'm talking, of course, about those four questions or Nathan's two questions or some kind of decision about the direction you're going in when you write something down before you start writing.
I've noticed for myself, I sometimes get trapped in the inside of my own head thing. But when I do take the step of writing stuff down, especially I like to either use my Remarkable or just a pen and paper, and when I do get into that step of actually fleshing it out, a little bit woo, but bringing it out of my head and putting it in the physical world is where it starts to actually manifest and turn into reality. So I would say maybe it's just a psychological thing, but definitely taking it out of your head and bringing it into the real world, even if it's just the first steps, is where it starts to actually become real.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, that's why writing is so powerful, even if it's not copywriting. It goes from internal to external. All right, what happens next? Let's say the four sentences are the grand total of what you think you know about this product and its potential customers. Chances are you know more, but we'll get to that. Now you've done your preliminary research, which is okay if you're in a new niche and the product is somewhat technical. You should plan to do more research later, but be willing to get started on an early draft, having done as little of your research as possible. See, just by having those four sentences, or Nathan's two sentences, on a separate document and starting to write, you make two interesting discoveries. As you're writing, you make these discoveries. First, as you write, you find out what you already know, and you may find out, since a lot of all of our knowledge is implicit, you may find out that you know a lot more than you think you did. But the second thing is you'll probably also find out, that's equally important, you'll discover what you don't know. and what you need to know to write copy. And this may seem trivial, but it's not, especially if you write down what you realized you need to find out. Most of us typically go into a new situation not knowing what we don't know, and that keeps us at a disadvantage. How can we move forward if we don't know what we need to know? There's a technical term for not knowing what you don't need to, for not knowing what you don't know, unknown unknowns. You cross an important threshold and get a major advantage when you convert unknowns unknowns into known unknowns. That is, once you realize what you don't know but need to know, you're in a strong position because you know what you need to do to make the unknowns known. Hope that wasn't too confusing. But let's roll back the clock a little bit in the writing process. Before you have even made known the unknown unknowns, when you are writing with incomplete information, your brain more or less forces you to realize, hey, I need to know about this if I'm going to write some bullets, if I'm going to answer objections, if I'm going to know what kind of testimonials to look for, and so on. Writing before you're ready will help you focus your further research after you finish your first draft better than anything else I know. So you can take the first draft writing as a kind of diagnosis. You're finding out what you've already got, what you still need to get. And it's okay to write in things like, I need some bullets here, right in your first draft without knowing what the bullets are, and then keep going.
I got a question for you. So up until this point, before I actually start typing my first draft, all of this I'm either doing on paper or, like I said, on the Remarkable, or I'll open up the notes tab on my iPhone and I'll voice to text it. But yeah, I won't actually sit down at the keyboard for any of this preliminary process. And then once I've got all of that done, that's when I actually start typing. For me, that works better. It seems like, I don't know, my brain has like this separate thing where it doesn't want to hit the keyboard until I'm actually ready to start typing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great way to do it. I do the same thing. I've started to use the Notes app more on my iPhone. It's incredible what you can do. And then there are Quick Notes, which I've set up so I can just hit a button and start talking. It depends on who you are, but there is a certain anchoring in the body. For me, when I sit down to type something, it's like a more formal and demanding kind of writing than, you know, just picking up a pen and scribbling something down, or, you know, Remarkable or iPhone, or I'm very old school. I like to use paper. I'm going to share a deep secret from, I even have this like pad of paper from Levenger by my right hand there with my pen, even during the podcast. Yeah. So I'm analog and digital in that way.
Yeah. I think
sounds like you're mostly digital.
A little bit both, but I think that the tools that I use, just like when I'm working, when I'm doing taxes and spreadsheets, I use one computer. When I'm creating podcast episodes, I use another computer, and I'm usually in a different room of the house. For some reason, when I'm doing one aspect of my writing, I'm using one set of tools. And then when I'm doing the other aspect of my writing, I do a completely different set of tools. And I don't know why, but my brain just works that way.
I think it's really smart. And for someone listening and who says, oh, no, I do everything on my iPhone. I even write copy on my iPhone. Are they saying no? No, we're not. We're saying find what works for you. But, you know, If you're having trouble doing some of these pre-writing things on the computer, you might want to try what I do or what Nathan does. You know, the whole thing is to try stuff and find out what works for you. That's the whole thing. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the pitcher and the well and where ideas come from. Where do they come from? Nobody knows for sure. But experience has taught me that there are two metaphors that will help you understand why a good idea to start writing why it's a good idea to start writing even before I think you're ready. The first metaphor is ideas are not like water in a pitcher. It's not like you need to gather all the ideas in your head, perfectly phrased and sequenced, and simply pour them out onto a page. Now, you'll see writers do that in movies, and it makes for great theater, but not necessarily for such good writing. I've never seen it work that way, and it's even possible To do things that way, even if it is, it seems like too much work. The second metaphor is think of a deep underground well. Now, imagine grabbing onto the handle of the well and starting to pump some water out. You'll notice the water doesn't come out all at once. In fact, sometimes it comes out in fits and starts, and it can even be muddy at first. What pumping does is it primes the pump in a way. It gets the water flowing from the underground, the deep recesses of your mind, to the surface, the page you're writing on. And it may take some effort to get it started, and the muddy water at first may need to be filtered later. That is, you may need to clean your copy up. Nevertheless, this is a proven and reliable way to get started. And you make it a practice to write before you're ready, you start to develop a skill where you can, in fact, dictate copy on demand. Have you ever noticed how some advanced copywriters and consultants seem to be able to dictate copy on demand? My mentoring clients have told me they think it's magic when I'm able to do this for them on the spot during a session. But actually, this ability is not the result of some magical, mysterious power that was divinely gifted to me or anyone else. It's when your brain starts pumping up from the well so fast that the copy is coming out in real time. Years ago, when I first started writing copy, my first drafts were nothing short of terrible. But I kept at it and I got better. And those of us who stayed with it developed this skill. I'm pretty sure a lot of this comes from repeatedly forcing ourselves to write before we were ready. I talk a lot about copywriting reflexes, and when I do, I'm referring to all the muscle memory that comes from writing, reviewing, studying, and improving good sales copy. After a while, you learn to make enough good choices in the moment so overcoming resistance is no longer a problem. I'll end. Let me emphasize, this skill doesn't come right away. It takes practice, but believe me, it's worth doing the practice to get to this point. And expecting excellence right off the bat can keep you from getting started at all. At this point, I'll paraphrase something I wrote in Breakthrough Copywriting. In face-to-face sales, a lot of people don't close because they don't ask for the order. In copywriting, a lot of people never get started because they think they have to make their copy too good too soon. So look at it this way. Starting off badly is better than not starting at all. And so-called bad first drafts do not mean you have failed. What those first drafts are is just the first step in the process. Ernest Hemingway told his apprentice Arnold Samuelson, "The first draft of anything is shit." And in his powerful memoir, semi-fictional memoir, A Movable Feast, Hemingway said, "All writing is rewriting." Remember, you don't need to show your first draft to anyone. You need to figure out and write down a few things: your purpose, your customers, their problem, your product, or alternatively, what your prospect wants to get out of it and what you want to get out of it, citing Nathan, citing in an academic way, not in an indictment way, and in a few sentences in general terms. Now, before we wrap up, well, do you want to say anything before we wrap up, before I get to this next part?
I just want to say, I heard Stephen King one time say that he does the exact opposite of what we've been talking about today. I read an interview where he said he just sits down and starts writing and lets it flow. I've never been able to accomplish that. So what you've been talking about today is always the approach that I've taken. But you already kind of covered earlier, find out what works for you. But I've noticed this is what works for me.
Yeah, and Stephen King is writing fiction, and he doesn't have any kind of outline or purpose. He doesn't know where the story's going, but what he does have is at least one character, and he talks to the character. He has someone in his mind who's telling him what's happening, or maybe a couple of them. So it's a different kind of writing and definitely a different process. But yeah, again, if you're looking for a method, if you'd like to try, you know, Try this out, because a lot of people don't have anything that they do except wait till the last minute and find an old bottle of Ritalin or something, you know.
Oh my okay. gosh. That's the worst way to do it.
Yes, it is. But that's what people do. Okay. Now, before we wrap up, let's quote another great multiple copywriters podcast AI expert Sam Woods. In an important post on LinkedIn, Sam listed 7 qualities that could never be fully, or in some cases, ever at all, replicated by AI. They are wisdom, perspective, discernment, judgment, articulation, curation, and taste. And let's go back to what Nathan was talking about, where you just let AI run wild without giving it any direction or information at first, and it writes something that seems very compelling and just doesn't work at all when you really step back from it and think about your prospect and copywriting fundamentals and persuasion fundamentals and what you're selling and so forth, because it doesn't have the perspective, it doesn't have the judgment, doesn't have the discernment, it can't understand the human context because it doesn't exist in the human context. It's really like a giant prefrontal cortex. Okay. So wisdom, perspective, discernment, judgment, articulation, curation, and taste. Thank you, Sam Woods. Every human has these already, including you, to some degree. And especially if part of your fast writing process includes AI, you need to apply these 7 qualities when you review your work. These are also something that you can develop and get stronger naturally over time. Sometimes you learn from a mentor. Sometimes you learn them from a horrible mistake you made. And in reviewing it, you realize, oh my God, I should never do that again. I should do this. And sometimes you learn them by simply stepping back and using your common sense. Judgment and taste, I would say, are foremost among these 7 qualities. And eventually they will weave themselves into your normal thought process, so you won't have to consciously and rigorously go through each one like a checklist. Writing before you're ready doesn't mean you throw caution and copywriting expertise to the wind. But it's okay to write wildly and then come back when your brain has cooled off a little to look at what you've written through these very important lenses. Okay, that's all I got.
I'm going to add one thing at the end. You mentioned sometimes when you're talking with a client or you're working on a new project, this stuff just starts automatically flowing. I think that that is a result of going through the process multiple times. After you've done a lot of this writing before you're writing, and it becomes just a natural part of the flow of your thinking process, then you can start having those spur of the moment ideas that pop up. But if you try to just hit the ground running in your career without building up that knowledge base, that intuition, that practice first, you're not ever going to hit the ground running. You're just going to hit the ground and have a crash and burn.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think we've seen too many examples in the industry, and this is even before AI, you know, ChatGPT started becoming capable of helping with copywriting effectively. There were some people training people, telling them to charge a lot of money and screw the client and the hell with it. And boy, you know, word got around fast from the people who hired copywriters and hung around together. And they said, if you get somebody who trained with this person, steer clear of them because they're rude and they're late for appointments. You know, I mean, copywriting in some ways is a lot freer and crosses a lot of boundaries that more, you know, conservative, buttoned-up business hues to. But people are still people, and work is still the work. And there's got to be some level of craft and conscientiousness and respect that goes into the product and the way you treat the people who are hiring you.
Yeah, and just a side note on that, I remember there was a popular ethos for a while, learn on the client's dime, and I was never a big fan of that, and there's also been instances where I've been hired by people, and they'll tell me, yeah, we worked with so-and-so who's got a pretty good reputation, or at least we thought, we paid them a bunch of money, and then they missed the deadlines, and they didn't deliver what they promised. And that stuff does get talked about, and your reputation will follow you. So building that good foundation, not waiting to the last minute to, oh, projects due tomorrow at 8 a.m. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I better get started. Doing that will definitely kill your career, and the word will get around. So start writing before you're writing.
All right. Yeah, I love the way you ended. You found your way there. That's good. Yeah. Okay. So this is fun. A little different. And thank you.
Absolutely. And if you enjoyed this episode, we've got close to 450 other episodes that we know you'll enjoy over at copywriterspodcast.com. So head on over there. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Stop using the hero's journey in your sales copy. My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today.